Hey everybody, before we start the show today, I am very excited and proud to announce that Crypto 101 Podcast has been nominated for the Crypto Influencer Award of 2018 for Best Crypto Podcast. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. But please go to crypto101podcast.com. There's a pop-up there. Vote for us so we can win the Best Crypto Podcast. Thanks again and enjoy the show. Just a reminder that this show is not legal advice, trading advice, financial advice, or personal advice. Enjoy the show, and thank you very much. This show was sponsored by Seal Network, a blockchain-powered product authentication and service platform. Hi, I lived in China for many, many years, and China is the home of knockoff counterfeit goods. They call them super fakes. You can be sitting at a dinner table, which I have been, with somebody with an authentic Louis Vuitton and a counterfeit Louis Vuitton, and you cannot tell the difference. Super fakes are everywhere, from watches, bags, shoes, clothing, almost everything can be counterfeited. Well, not anymore. Not with Seal Network. Seal Network has created a solution that mixes blockchain technology with NFC chips. Products and brands now can embed the NFC chip into their product. And with the Seal Network app on your phone, you can scan any product with the Seal Network NFC chip and confirm its authenticity. Also, with the app, you can claim ownership to a product, purchase products, and many other things. If this sounds interesting to you, check out seal.network and check out their token sale. Now, back to the show. Yo, yo, welcome to Crypto 101, the average consumer's guide to cryptocurrency. This is Matthew Aaron, and I use Exodus Wallet. And I use it because it's easy and it's beautiful. That's basically why I started using it. And so while I was using it, I was like, you know what? I really want to get them on the show just to wrap out with them and explain a little bit about why they made it their goal to make such a beautiful wallet, the past, the present, the future, why don't they have a mobile wallet, and some other questions. So I'm very happy to welcome Chris Merkel of Exodus Wallet to come on and tell us a little bit about that. But before we get into this conversation today, please go to crypto101podcast.com and vote for us for best podcast in the 2018 Crypto Influencer Awards. Also, join our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is growing since we're seeing a little bit of a bull. Now people are getting back in and the page has become a lot more lively. Go to iTunes, rate us, subscribe. It means a lot to us. Think about becoming a Patreon. The Patreons help us support this podcast a lot. Thank you very much for being our support. And now, without further ado, Chris Merkel of Exodus Wallet. Enjoy the show, and we will see you in a little bit. Chris Merkel of Exodus Wallet. Welcome to Crypto 101.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's Chris Merkel. Merkel like the tree, correct?
It's spelled a little bit differently, but it's pronounced exactly the same.
Oh, okay. Cool. Chris, thank you very much for coming on the show. But what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about Exodus Wallet. I use Exodus Wallet. Exodus Wallet, I think, has always been one of the most beautiful, easy-to-use wallets in the crypto space. And what I want to go and talk to you about is how Exodus Wallet was started, what led it to having such a great interface, why that is important, how wallets are going to be and UIs and GUIs are going to be imperative in fostering mass adoption of the use of cryptocurrency, and then maybe Exodus Wallet in the future. And I really want to touch on a couple other things, like why Exodus Wallet doesn't have a mobile wallet yet. And We can just go from there and wrap out. But first, let's talk about you. Who are you?
All right.
What's your involvement with Exodus Wallet? And we'll go from there.
You're not a big fan of talking about myself, but I'm the vice president of community support. So anytime you interact with anybody in support at Exodus, that is kind of my realm. Those are the awesome people on my team. And they, they bring it every day, 24/7. I started out with Exodus as an early customer before I think they even... I think there was like 5 assets in the wallet when I joined, but not as an employee. I hopped on their Slack. I was actually new to crypto, and they had a community in their public Slack that was just totally engaging. I was able to talk every day with Daniel and JP, and really there was a bonding of philosophy. Exodus stood for everything that I believe in, and it was nice to step into that space, into crypto, having that kind of foundation.
Right on, man. Right on. And you know what I want to also touch on, I guess, a little bit is the average person, since you're part of the community support, I bet you really get to know the users quite well and what they're facing, how they're dealing with crypto and some of the problems that they're having. So what is an average day in the life of community support? What are the community saying when they reach out to you? What's their biggest problem or biggest praise?
Their biggest praise is usually how awesome the support is. All that thanks goes to
we're not patting yourself on the back at all. No,
nope, not mine at all. And we actually work really hard to provide the best support in this space. We're a support driven company. And so, you know, people get answered within 15 minutes right now, even sooner. There has been times where that's extended out, but that was because of massive volume in the entire space. But we still made sure we got to every single person, solved every single problem. We focus on engagement. We focus on building relationships. This is a space that is kind of nerve-wracking for people when they come into it soon. And Exodus is a wallet that's built with the new user in mind, something that's just really easy to use, you know, something that's nice to look at. And if there's ever a problem, there has to be somebody on the other end that's literally an expert in the wallet, that has blockchain experience and actually cares, has a lot of empathy for the person on the other end of the email and knows exactly what they're going through. And through that, like, we create this community that really stands behind Exodus in the wallet. So the typical day, I mean, you know, we're an always everywhere. It's 24/7. You know, mm-hmm. We have agents all over the world. We're completely 100% decentralized organization. So there's never any downtime. A typical day, we have our help desk software. We have public Slack. We have high-level engagement on Twitter. We have people on the team that are writing articles for our blog on Medium. It kind of goes all over the place, right? And everybody on the team operates at such a high level that they can plug themselves into actually any of those spaces and find ways to engage with customers.
So let's go to the beginning of Exodus Wallet. How did everything start? And what was the catalyst? What was the motivator for the founders, for you guys, for people part of the team to make the design the focal point of the wallet?
When people see Exodus, they're like, wow, this is really great. It doesn't look like anything else. I mean, so Exodus started...
What do you mean by it doesn't look like everything else? It means it doesn't look like shit.
Well, I'm not going to critique anybody else's wallet, but you know, if you've ever like used a core wallet that's built on Qt, there's a lot of things that people don't like to use, stuff that isn't intuitive and that they don't like to look at.
Oh,
like,
man, it's one of my biggest gripes in the space. It's like every time you download a core wallet or any of these other wallets, you go to, you know, Nav, or I'm just looking at my desktop right now of all these different core wallets I have, and I'm just like, none of them look good. None of them are intuitive. None of them are really easy to interact with. And that's why I have Exodus.
So JP and Daniel, the founders of Exodus, were in the crypto space, and they had a bunch of common people that they knew, but they didn't know each other. JP is the CTO and Daniel is the CCO, the chief creative officer. Their friends were like, hey, you know, you guys really should get to know each other. JP is a programmer. Daniel does design. After they met, they were, you know, both of them were extremely frustrated with the class of wallet in the crypto space, and really just, you know, decided together that they could do something that was better than everything else out there. You know, everything after that's history. They got together. The idea was to like create something that technically was super simple to use and really, really, really nice to use, like that it just works, right? That you pop the wallet open, you get your address, you know, you send Bitcoin or whatever crypto to it, and then you can back it up, and then it's just there, right? It doesn't break, and you can exchange your assets inside of it. Like, you can exchange all these other assets without ever leaving the wallet. One part of our mission is for people to control their own wealth. The private keys never have to leave the wallet. They live on your computer, and you're 100% in control. So you can go ahead and exchange between all of these assets without any counterparty risk.
I'm going to go back to the support. So we're talking about wallet, we're talking about, you know, private keys, we're talking about, you know, super easy to use. And then you said all the support is decentralized. When I hear decentralized, I think of a lot of good things, but one of the good things that I do not think of is that my support, when I need it, when I have my wallet, when I lose my, when I get locked out, when I send, you know, my coin somewhere where it shouldn't have been sent to, that, oh, my customer service is decentralized. Why is this a good thing, and how do you guys manage to have good support, yet it's scattered in the breeze?
That's a really good question. So, you know, decentralized, I guess you could say, is kind of a buzzword. Typically, you would say, yeah, we're a 100% remote team. The way that we all stay organized, you know, we use Slack. We're extremely active. The people that make up our support team have commented over and over that they feel so much closer to the people that they're working with in Exodus, more than people that they've worked with for years in the same common office. Like, we work really hard at creating this environment and knowing that we're all customers of Exodus too. So we can feel all of the pain points that everybody, you know, and we've all been noobs at one point in time, right? So we are able to, like, really do our best to connect. And even if we can't, like, there's somebody else on the team that's going to be able to do that. And everybody on the team works really hard at boosting and supporting everybody else. And so that's the way that we can offer such a high level of support, is that, one, we're always on, and two, the customer support engineers, they're always there for each other. They're looking at trying to help everybody else on the team become better.
Who do you guys consider as your main competition? Do you guys have competition when you're looking at different mobile wallets out there, and you see these different, are you looking at them going, oh, well, shit, they just rolled out this feature, or they did this with their UI and what have you. And you go, we got to step up our game. How do you, are you looking at the space right now, and what benefits do you have to make the best wallet? Is it transaction fees that you get paid on, the Shapeshift that you're getting paid on? Is it the fact that you have, I don't know how the you monetize a wallet. So can we go into, like, a little bit, how do you monetize a wallet? How do you look at your competition, and how do you maintain, let's say, market share?
That's a really good question, because technically, and we're very upfront about this, there's a lot of things that the wallet doesn't do, right? We don't have SegWit yet. You can't do custom transaction fees in the wallet. Like, there's a bunch of things that other wallets do that we can't do. However, the Exodus wallet, we work really hard at making sure what it does better than anybody else. And so with that, you have, you know, the most beautiful wallet that's out there. Other people, like, we throw the gauntlet down. Yeah, you know, somebody please make a wallet that's going to challenge us to, you know, keep innovating faster. And really, when it comes down to it, I mean, in this, I'm kind of biased because my whole world is support. And so, you know, the thing that we can do better than anybody else, like, I believe that the people who are behind the technical aspects of the wallet, the coders, you know, led by JP, the designers led by Daniel, that they can do that better than anybody else in the industry. But we can also offer better support than anybody else. Like, there may be other wallets that will try to copy us or maybe come out with features that we don't have yet, but those wallets cannot connect with the customers when the customers need to be connected with. For me, that's what really makes a difference to the wallet. Now, having the Shapeshift exchange inside is also a benefit. There are other wallets that have that, but this is the difference between using Shapeshift with Exodus and any other wallet, that we support every single exchange ourselves. If you have a problem in Exodus, that you call Exodus, you know, you contact us via email, and we will not stop supporting that ticket until the customer receives every single Satoshi back. Like, that ticket, like, we're adamant about, like, a ticket is not finalized until we have confirmation from the customer that they have all their money back. And we work really closely with Shapeshift to be able to make that happen too. They're a great exchange partner.
All right, but we didn't go into the monetization. How do you monetize? Like, how does it?
Yeah.
How do you make money off a wallet? And why is this a business? And how do you support your team? And how does JP and everybody support themselves? And
yeah, that's a super good question. So, as you know, Exodus is a free piece of software to download, right? You don't pay anything for it. You can use it all you want for free. You know, and we don't charge you in-app updates or anything. How we monetize the wallet is by a small percentage of the spread of the exchange. So when you go to exchange, there's an extremely small percentage that we take a cut of. And that's what funds the wallet. I mean, that's the only way that we can exist, you know, because we don't charge you for anything else.
And, so this is the exchange from Shapeshift from, you know.
You're
not getting any of the transaction fees exchange. When I send my ETH to people?
No, those go straight to the network. I mean, we don't hold anybody's funds. The funds never come to Exodus. Like, we're not a conduit for any of that money. We're just a wallet that has, you know, your send and received and the code inside it to be able to make sure that your money gets from one place to another. But yeah, all your transaction fees, those get paid straight to the network.
That little piece of the exchange fees, is that enough to keep the business going? Are you guys balling out? Are you guys Lambos on the moon, or is it just getting by, or am I in the wrong business? That's what I'm asking.
No, definitely not. I mean, we're very practical with balancing our teams and the needs and for innovation. Like, if people stop exchanging, like, then the wallet would die for sure, right? But as long as there's exchanges going through, and you know, it's literally paying the bills, man, we're gonna keep it innovating. So it is a small percentage, but it's enough.
All right, cool. My next question is about the mobile wallet. You know, the mobile wallet game. Honestly, I think that a functioning mobile wallet that works on iOS, you know, that uses my fingerprint, I don't know if this is something that you guys want to do. You know, you have your Apple wallet. You go there, it says confirm your payment with your fingerprint on the scanner or Face ID or whatever it's using now, and then I'm done. It's my money sent. But with this Exodus still, I have to go home to my computer. Yeah. I have to log on. I have to find the public key of the person I want to send it to, send all the funds, and you know what? It's a pain. It's a little bit of a pain.
Yeah.
Why don't you have a mobile wallet yet?
Yeah, you know what? That's a good question, and we get it all the time. Like, so you want to know what a typical day of Exodus looks like. I don't know. We can get a small percentage of our support tickets asking, hey, when is your mobile wallet going to come out? It's on our roadmap. We're actually currently in development of it. The thing is, with anything else in Exodus, man, if we can't do it better than anybody else, we're not going to waste our time and development and resources doing it, right? And so we could put a mobile wallet out right now, but would it be up to our standards? Like, we still, this is the thing, is like, we believe we actually have a lot of stuff that we need to improve and do better in the desktop wallet that we're working on. At the same time, the mobile wallet's on our roadmap. It's someplace where we want to be, but we're not going to release something until it can be the best crypto mobile wallet out there. Because you know, you can go to the App Store and download your choice of a lot of really good mobile wallet. There's a lot of good ones out there. Mm-hmm. And for us to be able to be in that space, it's not about just having the mobile wallet. We know that the desktop wallet is an inconvenience for somebody, but you know what? It gives you a solid desktop experience. And right now, that is the focus. And when we can get a mobile wallet that will feel as good and operate as securely as the desktop wallet, and you'll see it, and it'll be great.
Why do I feel that this is a cop-out answer? Now, I'm going to say this because you don't have SegWit. You don't have the variable fees. You know, if I'm going to send my ETH somewhere or my Bitcoin, it charges me, you know, either, you know, 15 cents to a buck or what have you. I can't do anything about it. And now you said that your mobile wallet is because you can't make the best one. I feel like
it's not about not making the best one. It's about making sure we make the best one.
But I feel that that's a cop out answer. Here's how I perceive it from a customer, and I'm not trying to attack. But
no,
as a customer, this is how I feel. I feel that you guys made something good that everybody sat down on it at a desk and they coded away and designed away and they did it really hard for 3 or 4 months, and then they're just like, well, we did that. Now we're gonna go get drunk for a couple of years, and they can't come back to the work table yet. And when they get back to the work table, that's when we start going to see the wallet, but nobody's really working on it. That's how I feel.
Yeah, you know what? That's a really interesting perspective. I'm going to take that and work on that, because Exodus actually releases a brand new version of the wallet every 2 weeks. You can go to Exodus.io on the download page and you can look at our release history.
Absolutely. And I get them all. And I've been using Exodus, like I said, but the wallet doesn't change. Nothing changes from the basics, the foundations. You might add, you know, DAI or a couple coins, I can't see it being nothing more than adding a couple logos and, you know, a new set of code so you can get, you know, these coins into your wallet or and talk to Shapeshift, but nothing fundamentally changes.
Yeah. Well, that's partially because, right, if it's one of those things, if it's not broke, why fix it? For one, and it is a foundation, right? We're constantly adding things on top of the foundation. And sometimes you see big leaps. Sometimes it's all under the hood improvements as far as the desktop wallet goes. But, the reason that maybe you're not seeing a lot of movement is maybe there's, development happening somewhere else, like on a mobile application.
No, I'm feeling you.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, the mobile wallet's on our roadmap. It's going to be a while. I'm not going to say that it's going to be here next month. It's not going to be here in 2 months. I actually don't have a timeline on it other than saying, oh, yeah, it's going to be a while. We've already started to implement sending to BEC32 addresses. So SegWit, that's our first step into being able to support SegWit. It's really interesting, right? A lot of these things have to do with really drilling down into the UI. Like, we pay so much attention to the UX and the UI that, we could just kludge a bunch of stuff together and call it good, right? But there are significant decisions to be made about how some of these technological updates actually work in the wallet and make sense and aren't confusing to people. And those will also have to translate into a mobile experience.
I just made a mental comparison to iTunes. You don't use iTunes because you're not an Apple guy, right?
No, I have a Mac. Yeah, no, I just don't have an iPhone.
It seems like iTunes was the best thing 10 years ago. And then and then it just kind of, they stopped working on it. Like I said, they went out and started getting drunk. And it's like, okay, we made this. It was great with iPod. We killed it. Mic drop.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see the comparison. But I know for sure how hard the development team is working. And from my perspective, like, all we're doing on the support end is making the support better, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the other side of the picture here. So you have a couple different avenues. You have these technological updates, you have the design updates, and then you also have the bettering the supporters, the support updates, really taking this time to make sure that we never fail in being a support-driven company, right? We could go out, we could do a big money grab. We could be like, okay, well, here's our mobile wallet, here's our desktop wallet, and we're going to do an Exodus token, and everybody's going to get in on it, and we could forget the exchange fees, like we could make a ton of money, but that's not why we're here. The Exodus mission is to allow customers to control their future wealth, to secure and manage and exchange their blockchain assets.
When you're doing the support, when you're doing the design, when you're going about the day-to-day business of a user using Exodus Wallet, how much of the user's input goes into the next update, the next revamp? Because Crypto 101 is the average consumer's guide to cryptocurrency. We're talking to the average person. We're not talking to the tech guys. We're not talking to the designers. We're not talking to the coders. It's the person, the mom and the pop, that are going to go out and try to use this. If they're frustrated, if you want mass adoption, if you want them to use your wallet to buy bread at the supermarket, how much of their input is being put in right now to designing it?
Since I started out as a customer, almost every single improvement that's made to the wallet has been customer driven. It's been off of customer requests. We have a host of them. Like, you want to see the big tub of SegWit requests we've heard them all. Like, we hear you. You're going to do that. But even for the little things, hey, wouldn't it be great if this button actually did this?
For example,
it brought me to this point. Let me see. For a good example is, there's the way to add assets, right? We started adding more assets, and the only way to add them was to go click in the wallet tab, scroll all the way down to the bottom, click the button that says add more assets, and then it would take you to this add more assets page, and then you could choose your assets and pick which ones are going to go in the portfolio. Well, that's not very good UI. It takes how many steps to get there? And so we added a button right on the front of the portfolio page. Right. Like, look, press this button. It doesn't say what it does, but it has a plus on it. So you pop it and boom, like, oh man, I didn't even know Exodus had all these assets. So, that's a really good example. But there's a lot of stuff that people ask for, and we really dig into pain points. We research our support data to drill down to find out what are the biggest things that would bring the most value to the customer right now? And I mean, that's all we want to do, is like, we never make a decision without thinking of like, okay, does this add value to the customer? Is it something that we want, or is it something that they want? Is it something that they're going to use?
Do you think that other wallets, blockchain companies are doing that? They're looking at the pain points. Do you feel in the space that they're really digging into what the customer wants? Or are they just ignoring the customer? Or if they are digging into it, they're just not understanding correctly. Because there is a disconnect between core wallets and, say, your wallet, or some user experiences and others. And I don't know why there's a disconnect if there is apps already made on the App Store or in Google. Is it Google Play? Is that what you guys use?
Yeah, in Google Play. Just for your listeners, there is no Exodus on Google Play or in the App Store. Just to let you know, if you see one, it's a fake. So,
what I'm trying to say here is all these apps are already made. People have been making apps for a decade, and they got it good. Shit works perfectly. Where's the disconnect?
Yeah, I can't really speak for anybody else. I mean, I deal with a lot of customer support departments in crypto. I deal with a lot of customer support departments everywhere. I'm going to stick with the company that is support driven. How many other companies in this space, like to you, are support driven companies? How many people are thinking of the support first and then building something around that that serves that customer base?
Good point.
Like, because that's what we're a support-led company.
32, actually. 32, that's how many.
Yeah, 32. Yeah. Okay, yeah, right. Name five.
Okay, let's continue.
Okay. So I can't really say why I think people don't do things. I can guess that a lot of, like, people come up with these ideas, and they're fantastic ideas. And they're like, hey, I'm going to build this, and everybody's going to love it. And then they put it together, and they put it out there, and then something, like, and it's working, right? And people are downloading it, and they're using it. And then all of a sudden, as soon as there's a problem, they go to contact somebody, and they're like, well, wait, I'm too busy to answer the phone or to email, to respond to all these emails that people are having problems. And then people just stop using them. Like, they're not creating customers that are going to be with them for a long time. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but
point.
When we start,
we're finger pointers.
I mean, no, I'm not a finger pointer. I think there's a lot of people in this space that are doing really wonderful work, but it's work on being innovative and technological, right? And getting something out there for the tech standpoint, and not thinking about what happens after it's out there, right? Which is where we started this company. Well, Daniel and JP started this company. I feel kind of like I was there, right? Because I was a very early customer, you know, and I've always kind of felt ownership over the wallet. Like, hey, this is my wallet. This is my project. They started with creating engagement, right? Knowing that a great customer experience is going to keep a customer there for life, even though it's more expensive to exchange in the wallet. People are going to pay that money with the higher spreads because they know that one, it's going to be easy, that they don't even have to really think about it. They don't have to like figure out how to like place limit orders or do all these other things, right? And they know too that if something ever goes wrong, that they're going to talk to a human that actually cares about them and that is going to work their butt off to get their money back to them. Or maybe they got their money. Maybe they have no idea that their money is actually there, but they're going to talk to somebody who's going to lead them through the blockchain and teach them, you know, how to look up an address and find their money on the blockchain, right? We do part of a typical support day is a lot of education, which is great. And we see the gamut, man. I think our oldest customer has been like 89 years old.
Jeez, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the support engineer that talks to him all the time, right? They've created this relationship because they know that they can go to Exodus and they're going to get their question answered, whether it's about Exodus or whether it's not about Exodus.
Wait, we got to bring this back. The 80-year-old person that's using Exodus Wallet, what's their deal? Because now that's amazing. That's amazing. One, my grandfather doesn't know how to use his cell phone properly.
Yeah.
and what's the motivation behind that 89-year-old to get into, you know, using crypto? Is it investment? I mean, I assume that he's like, is it for his kids' investment? Is it for his own personal investment? Is he thinking that this is the future? Was he a tech guy?
I haven't actually personally talked to that customer, but we have a whole host of what we would call, I guess, senior customers. I used to have this gentleman who would email me all the time. And as soon as he'd email me, he didn't like using computers. He's into Bitcoin. He wants to use the wallet. He's not into computers, but he would ask me to call him every time. Right. And so I'd get on the phone with him.
Sounds like
and then
me.
We would just Yeah, and we would just chat and walk through like how to do something in the wallet. And what he liked about it was that it was something new. I think that most of these senior investors, right, that they're like, this is something that's brand new and they're so into it. I mean, we're not talking like every single baby boomer is like into crypto, but these particular people are so into technology that they just love to play with it.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool. Yeah, and that's really cool that you guys gave him a call. I mean, that's above and beyond customer service, in my opinion.
We don't do a lot of phone calls, but you know, there's a couple.
Right, there's cases.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a hack case, like we're on it. We're going to do everything that we can to find out how somebody was hacked and give them all the information that they need to report that to the authorities. And we could do that. We do that on Skype and do that on the phone. We call, you know, typically we'll call customers if they ask us to call them if we have the capacity to do that.
If you don't mind, let's get into some general questions about the space. What do you think of the market? Do you think it's healthy? We were just talking about this actually offline a little bit, and we were talking about what we think Bitcoin is going to go to, when, and you know, putting our finger to the breeze. How healthy do you think the crypto market is?
I'm not a bull, but I think that the fact that it didn't dip down below like $6,500 or so, and now is back up at $8,348 right now, is a really good sign. I think the market is really healthy. I mean, and some people would say, yeah, $20,000 is healthy. Like, I don't know if that's actually healthy, because that means that it's going parabolic. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's a ceiling there. I think it's pretty healthy. Bitcoin was regaining some of its market dominance. You know, everything else rides on the price of Bitcoin. And so you can use that as an indicator of how healthy the overall crypto market is. I mean, and we know it's volatile, but it's at 83, well, it's 83.55 right now. So it went up a couple bucks just as we're sitting here talking.
I love that.
You know, yeah, I mean, at this time last year, it was right about $3,000. I mean, look how long it took to get over 5,000, mm-hmm. right? And once it went over 5,000, it just took off. And so less than 12 months later, we're sitting at more than that. Like, I think it's actually healthy. And for me, honestly, because of everything, everybody in the space was on fire in November and December. There was not a crypto company in the world or market or anything that was not just moving at like 250%. Like, I mean, everybody was just giving everything they could to just support the bandwidth on the network. And so right now, it's not even crypto winter. It's kind of like crypto spring. Like, there's enough time to look back and see what the failures were of like the end of 2017, especially us for like support or technology, or like we're able to dig in now and really do things under the hood in the wallet that will, and improving the support that will help once we see that again, if we see that again. Mm-hmm. But overall, to answer your question, that was a long answer to the question. Yeah, I think the market's actually really healthy.
Okay, cool, man. Who is somebody that you look up to in the space? For example, if they're going to tweet something, you're going to read their tweets. If they mention something, you see their name in a title of a headline from whatever news source that you're going to, you go, okay, this is the person. I'm going to see what they said. Who's that person?
Yeah, I got two, actually. Andreas Antonopoulos. I mean, this is personal, right? Andreas and Jimmy Song. I'll go three. We'll go Fluffy Pony, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a huge Monero fan. So, yeah.
I get Andreas Antonopoulos a lot, but I don't get Jimmy a lot. What is it about Jimmy that you respect or like about his ideologies or what he says?
One, Jimmy knows what he's talking about. He's a great developer. He's
put
himself into a lot of projects. He has put enough of himself into a lot of projects that now his sole focus is educating programmers. He knows that this space is going to die if there are no new programmers to come into it. And so Jimmy's whole mission, at least from what I see him, and I don't know Jimmy Song, but what I see is that he is into educating. He's educating the next generation of developers to come into this space. And, you know, what better person to get it from too, because he knows what he's talking about.
What projects or projects in the crypto space do you think is going to have the biggest impacts in the future?
Probably decentralized exchanges.
You know, that is a very common answer. And why do you say this? You know what CZ Zhao of Binance said? He said the mobile wallet.
Yeah, well, you know what? He's right. When we talked about this mobile wallet earlier, like, I don't think the future of wallets is going to be on the desktop. as we move forward, the desktop wallet will become antiquated. I mean, everything's going to happen on your phone. So yeah, I think he's right. It's interesting that you mentioned Binance, because I saw they had a blog post yesterday that they are crowdsourcing their own decentralized exchange, which is great. I mean, they're gonna get a lot of innovation out of it. So the decentralized exchange, you know, depending on what you want to use, you know, the technology of the particular exchange, the fact that you could do basically peer-to-peer orders and not have one exchange hold your keys. Like, Exodus is going to have a part in that too, right? Because you'll be able to send from your Exodus wallet to this decentralized exchange and then back to your Exodus wallet address without ever having to reveal any of your private keys. Yeah, I think that the age-old large crypto exchanges, you know, they have kind of this network effect and there will always be a place. But I think that the decentralized exchange will probably be one of the things that changes the way people interact with exchanging their currencies. Like, that's going to have a huge impact sooner than later.
Crypto 101 is positioned to be one of those podcasts or resources or media companies that could capture the people that are first getting into the space and could actually be somebody's first podcast they listen to when they're coming into the space. The noob of all noobs, the first noob, the shiny new green noob comes out, first podcast, listens to you. You would tell them what?
Yeah, honestly, I would tell, this is what I tell everybody. Like, yeah, this is a great podcast, but you're going to have to do your homework and make sure that, you know, you're not just following actually everything that they're saying, that you're going to research and go to some of the resources that they say so you can, you know, understand why they're saying what they're saying. Like, if they said, like, hey, go out and buy Ethereum today, that, you know, you should probably not just go buy Ethereum. You should, you know, research what it is and make sure that it's a good buy for you. So I would tell them the production quality is pretty good.
And you tell them that, to go buy EOS, right?
No. Yeah, not me. No, I was just saying that, you know, I don't recommend anything in this space without telling people to, you know, make sure that they do their homework, because it's confusing, right? And your podcast is great because you try to break things down simply and find guests that help people, you know, understand from a very basic level. And honestly, like, you know, that's what Exodus Wallet is for. Like, we're the wallet for somebody who doesn't want to be confused getting into crypto, right? Mm-hmm. Once you onboard into the wallet, it's pretty simple and easy to use, and it feels good. You can see your portfolio, you can see all of your percentages, you can see your balances, you can dig into your wallet, and then you can pick between all these supported assets to exchange back and forth.
Before I ask this last question, I want to say thank you very much for coming on the show and spending about 45 minutes with us and chatting about Exodus Wallet, customer support, the future of wallets design, and a little bit about the space.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. It's been great.
Crypto 101 used to do like 3 songs with the episode. It used to have like songs at the beginning, middle, end. And we stopped doing that, but we still add the songs to our Spotify playlist. Link is in the description. What 3 songs, or 1 song, or 2 songs, or 8 songs would you want on the Crypto 101 Spotify playlist to represent Exodus Wallet?
Let's see. I'm a big fan of Khaki King. I'd put Oobleck on there. I know that This Velvet Glove by the Red Hot Chili Peppers was sent up to the team playlist. Another favorite of mine is Oregon Sunset by Alcyon Massive.
Boom. Thank you very much for those 3 songs. And before we get off, is there anything else that we want to touch on?
Yeah. If anybody's interested in finding out more about Exodus, you can go to exodus.io. That's our homepage. There's a link there to download the wallet. And if you're interested in working for a really great remote decentralized organization and a cool wallet with cool people with Exodus, you can check out our jobs page. There's a couple job postings there. If you think you got what it takes, go ahead and fill that out. Once again, that's exodus.io.
Right on, man. That's cool. So we've actually been looking at different ways for the average person or people to get into working in the blockchain space. And this might be a good route for somebody.
Yeah, they should check it out and see if there's anything that you're interested in.
Right on. All right, Chris, thank you very much for coming on Crypto 101.
All right. Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate you having me.
All right, brother. Bye. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Crypto 101. And as always, apogeecrypto.com, that's APOGEE crypto.com, the best place to check your real-time prices. Wenmoon.co, great place for news. And if you need a website, check out June. at wponthefly.co. Thank you very much, and we will see you in the next episode of Crypto 101.